Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. I hope you're praying for me this week as I have a procedure that's going to be done. And if I sound a little short of breath, I am. So hopefully we get something done about that. I want to talk today about God's election. And I want you to remember something as we talk about this, that you hear in the news every day, people are talking about what's happening around Israel. And they're talking about the end of times, and they're talking about all of these things that's going to happen, and they're preaching from Revelation. So I want to give you of God's viewpoint of Israel. And looking at God's viewpoint of Israel, it's not the way that most people think. So I want to read what was read very well, and you read it very well. He says, "But it's not as though the word of God has failed. For not all are descended from Israel, belong to Israel. And not all are children of Abraham, because they are his offspring. But though Isaac shall be your offspring, be named, this means that it is not the children of the flesh who are the children of God, but the children of the promise are counted as offspring. For this is what the promise said, about this time next year, I will return and Sarah will have a son. And not only so, but also when Rebekah had conceived children by one man, our forefather Isaac, though they were not yet born and had done nothing, either good or bad, in order that God's purpose of election might continue, not because of works, because of him who calls. She was told, the older will serve the younger. As it is written, Jacob I have loved, but Esau I have hated." I want to tell you before I begin today that this, chapter 9 through 11, is the most difficult passages in the entire Bible. You will not find any harder, and if you teach it wrong, you're going to end up on the wrong end of the stick. So how can it be said that God's promises to Israel have never failed? Because he had promised Israel so much. And now they're saying, well, God failed in keeping his promise to Israel. And he's saying, I want you to know that it never failed. God kept his promise to Israel. Would Israel be saved? Yes, Israel would be saved. Was Israel saved? No, Israel was not saved. That sounds like a contradiction, but I hope we understand as we go along. And the answer to that is, Paul says there are two Israels. And those two Israels are not the same. Both parties belong to one, but both parties do not belong to the other. And so he's saying, I want you to see that there are two Israels, and one Israel is not really Israel, while the other Israel is truly Israel. He said, for not all who are descended from Israel are Israel. Well, this is sounding very strange. Somehow or another, God's election is choosing one above the other. And as he does this, he says there is an ethnic Israel and there is a spiritual Israel. The ethnic Israel, of course, are those, and we have to remember who the true Jew is. When we look back, by the way, we're getting smaller every week. It seems like we're getting smaller. And by the way, Jimmy is very sick today, so pray for her. In Romans 2:25 through 2:29, he makes an observation. For circumcision indeed is of value if you obey the law. What's he saying? He's saying that if you do not obey the law, it doesn't value you anything. But if you break the law, your circumcision becomes uncircumcision. So if a man who is uncircumcised keeps the precepts of the law, will not his uncircumcision be regarded as circumcision? Then he who is physically uncircumcised but keeps the law will condemn you who have the written code and circumcision but break the law. For no one is a Jew, he is merely one outwardly, nor is circumcision outward and physical. But a Jew is one inwardly, and circumcision is a matter of the heart by the Spirit, not by the letter. His praise is not from man, but from God. From this we need to understand something about circumcision. Circumcision is a little bit like an engagement ring or a wedding ring. When I gave my wife the engagement ring, I said to everybody, when you look at that and when she looks at it, she remembers she's engaged to me. She, and she doesn't like me to say this, but she belongs to me. She is my property. Don't you love that, Paige? And this is what circumcision is. It was an outward sign to remind them that they were in covenant relationship with Almighty God. And that showed that they were in that engagement, or they were going to be joined to Him. So the ethnic includes all those physically descended. In order to be an Israelite, all you had to do is be born. And then after 8 days, you were a child of Abraham. You were an Israelite. If you'll notice, they didn't even have to be taught anything. That was the physical Israel. And physical Israel is that Israel that is going to be called in order to serve God and bring out the purpose that God had in salvation for everybody. So he chose the nation of Israel. The spiritual are those that have faith like Abraham. And faith like Abraham means that they totally and absolutely trust in God. When God says to do something, they do what God said. And they believe what God says with all their heart, with all their soul, with all their mind. And they are doing exactly what God tells them to do. And they trust God because God has made His promises. All of them were looking forward to that great promise, and that is the Messiah was going to come. But all of Israel didn't do that. Many of them thought that they could keep the law perfectly and therefore be justified before God. And God says nobody is going to be justified by the law. These two Israels are not two totally distinct groups, with some Jews belonging to one and some to the other. They are distinct groups, I should say. They are distinct groups, and one belongs to God and the other doesn't. All Jews belong to the first group, and only some to the second. So we can see that there are individuals there that are faithful. We could go back to Daniel. We could go back to Job. We could go back to a lot of people. And Job, of course, was not an Israelite, but he was faithful to God. So the New Testament teaching is the Jew and Gentiles are the new Israel. I realize that when it started, only Israel was saved. That's in Acts 2. But then in Acts 10, we find the Gentiles being brought in to that which is Israel. And so the new Israel is Jew and Gentile, and those that truly trust in God with all of their heart and with all of their soul and with all of their mind and with all of their strength. They are the individuals that love one another. They are the individuals that are listening to God. In Galatians 6:16, he says, "As for all who walk by this rule, peace and mercy be upon them and upon the Israel of God." And the Israel of God are those that have Abraham's faith. So when we're talking about Israel today over in the land, It is not the God of Israel that's going to be saved. It is not the God of Israel that God is going to work through. It is the God of Israel is the church, as we look at that. So ethnic Israel received all the promises of the Jews. They received the land, they received the law, they received all of those blessings that we talked about the last time that I preached. And those blessings were great that they had because they'd all pointed to one thing, and that was to Jesus Christ. That everything that we read of in the Old Testament is pointing to Jesus Christ. When Jesus Christ comes, he is the one. In fact, he is the true Israel, and all of those in that true Israel is Israel. So physical Israel received blessings and privileges, but not salvation. In other words, God had the right to choose who he wanted to serve the purposes that he wanted to bring salvation to all people, and he chose the Jewish nation to do that as he worked through Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and so on. Those having faith like Abraham also receive. Is something wrong? Really? I'm sorry. Those having faith like Abraham also receive salvation. I wish I was up to par today, but I'm not. So we're going to do the best we can. I probably should have had Tim preach, but I didn't. So personal salvation was not included to those called for service. And when God called them for service, he expected and gave them those blessings so that they would be faithful. Many of them were not faithful. In fact, most of them were not faithful. And therefore, when they came, they did not recognize at all that they thought that they were the Israel of God when they were really not the Israel of God. And they're pointing out that even those that many came and his own received him not. The blessing was promised only to spiritual Israel, the believing remnant. And so this remnant is talked about all the way through the Old Testament. So as that remnant comes up, we see this is the real Israel rising all the time, and we finally come to the New Testament, and there it is. The existence of the two Israels thus resolves the dilemma of verses 1 through 5, where he tells us that many of those that thought they were going to be saved were not going to be saved. And all who are descended from Israel experience the covenant blessing. But only the true Israel escapes the curse of eternal damnation. This had always been God's plan. And this is the way it happened, and the worst, this word did not fail. So we could ask the question of ethnic Israel exists because of God's sovereign choice. Now I want you to see this, and this is very important. Whenever Abraham had two sons, only one was chosen. And why did he choose that one? If you'll notice, it says the subject of these seven verses, and this is important, is talking about physical Israel. Physical Israel are not the ones that are going to be saved. Spiritual Israel is. If we can get that in our heads, we're going to escape a lot of problems. In them, Paul is responding to a possible objection that might be raised by what he has just said in verse 6. There he affirmed being a Jew did not mean salvation. So we are seeing that he's leaving out these that are calling themselves Jews and leaving them to where they're not going to be saved. In other words, Paul has said God could use the nation of Israel for service without giving them salvation. Salvation is only for those that are going to truly have faith in God. not depend upon the law to save them, but rather to depend upon the promises of God. Israel's existence as a nation is the result of God's sovereign, unconditional choice of Isaac over Ishmael and Jacob over Esau. That doesn't seem like it's fair. God says, I don't care whether you think it's fair. This is the way I'm doing it, whether you like it or not. So he put the very ones that they thought should be the ones, he put them down, lifted the other up. It wasn't because he hated, as we use hate for one of them. He just used one and didn't use the other. God did not promise salvation to physical Israel. They assumed that they were saved. And you can imagine being an Israelite, just like the Apostle Paul. Paul imagined he had salvation because he was a Jew, but he was a physical Jew and not a spiritual Jew. And being a physical Jew, he automatically thought, I am keeping the commands, therefore I have salvation. And many others, the Pharisees especially, believed, I'm keeping the law, therefore I have salvation, and there's no question about it. The Gentiles are for hell, but us, I'm not. And because of God's sovereign purpose of election, Israel would fulfill God's plan for the Messiah, and God would thus fulfill his promise toward them. In other words, he had promised that they were going to bring forth the Messiah. They were going to bring forth Jesus. They were going to be the ones that Jesus was going to come from. Jesus, it's all Israel all the way through, and we have a very Jewish background to the church. It was there that he brings forth Jesus Christ through Israel. And whether they as individuals entered into a saving relationship with God or not, that's not the point. The point is God says, I have a plan. I'm going to work my plan. I'm going to work it through Israel, and I'm going to choose whom I want to choose, and that's going to settle the matter. The paragraph through verses 13 focuses on the origin and role of ethnic Israel, explaining how God called them into his service. What a privilege it would be to be called into his service. You and I have been called into his service. If you remember the Apostle Paul, he was called first into the service of God. He was going to be the one that was going to preach especially to the Gentiles. And he was called into service to God. Later on, he was called into salvation. But before, he was not saved. The main point is that this is the difference from the way he calls individuals to salvation. How does he call individuals to salvation? He calls them by the gospel of Christ. Those believing the gospel of Christ, those truly trusting in God's promise, those that obey the gospel of Christ, that is being brought into Israel. Only when the two are confused do questions about God's faithfulness to Israel arise. And that's happening all over the country today and has been since I was a little boy. Everybody puts their eye upon physical Israel and thinks that's God's Israel that he's going to deal through. I want you to recognize that he is dealing through Israel, the true Israel, which is the church. False conclusions will lead to Calvinism. This is where Calvinism gets their doctrine that God chooses certain ones for heaven and certain ones for hell. That is not true. That last one, Terry says, false conclusions lead to Calvinism. Okay. This is the whole Calvinistic doctrine. They are using that which he is using with physical Israel and applying it to individuals. This is not true of individuals. The choice of Isaac. nor because they are descendants are they all Abraham's children. So the Jews' mistaken idea that just because they were descendants of Abraham, God was obligated to treat them in a certain way. Don't ever put God under obligation that he doesn't say that he's going to do. God is not under obligation to anybody except he will keep his promises to us. Same as John the Baptist said to Israel. He says, bear fruits in keeping with repentance and do not begin to say within yourselves, we have Abraham, our father. For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children to Abraham. It's not such a big deal to be a child of Abraham. It is to be a child of God. To be a child of God means that I am truly like Abraham in my belief, in my trusting in God with all my heart. So something more than physical descent is required, as verse 8 specifies. It is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned. In other words, that's the seed. Why would you leave out Ishmael? Why would you leave out these people? God said, because I wanted to, because I chose to, because that's the way I do things. I'm going to have my plan work the way I want it to work. We need to understand that about God. It's not because of what we want. It's because of what God wants. This is an exact quotation from the Septuagint translation of Genesis 21:12. And God made this promise to Abraham as he was explaining to him why the patriarch should not hesitate to sever his connections with his son Ishmael. You remember Sarah said, we need to get Ishmael out of the way. Send him away. Abraham didn't want to do that. God says, you need to do what Sarah is wanting you to do. Send him away because he does not have part in the promise. And that's what he takes even into the New Testament. He does not have part of that promise of those going into salvation. The sense of it is that through Isaac alone, not through Ishmael or any other possible progeny, will come to the seed specified in my covenant with you. So it's not coming alone through Ishmael. Ishmael's not here. Ishmael I am disregarding. Ishmael is not the one. So Isaac is the one. And we can say, well, was Isaac that good of a person? Not really. Was Jacob that good of a person? Not really. God says that's who I choose and this is how it's going to happen. Just that simple. So only those connected with Isaac will be called Abraham's true covenant seed. Do you remember when Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper? And we forget this many times. We come into a covenant of his blood. His blood made a covenant with us. We agreed to that when we were baptized into his death, where we received the blood of Christ, and there we are in a covenant. And that covenant is God is watching out for us, and we are watching out for God, if you please. That covenant is that we are both trying to protect one another. That is a covenant. God told Abraham, so far as his covenant with Abraham was concerned, only Isaac and his offspring would be recognized as Abraham's seed. And you remember, that's the seed that started in Genesis 3:15 with Eve, that your seed and his seed are going to be at enmity with one another. So the only thing to remember is this covenant did not include this promise of salvation as such. Abraham's seed in this context is not the same as spiritual Israel. The next two verses there show Paul's main point in bringing up defined distinguishing between Isaac and Ishmael to emphasize the sovereign unilateral way in which God established the nation of Israel and enlisted it into his service. Paul's main point in bringing up in the divine distinguishing between Isaac and Ishmael is to emphasize the sovereign unilateral way in which God established the nation of Israel. I think I said that twice. So Paul is not talking about election. God chose Isaac over Ishmael, and that is it. God chooses who he wants for service. If you will remember, he even chose Pharaoh for his service. Why? Because God wanted to use him. Was Pharaoh wicked? Yes, but God uses even the wicked to accomplish his purposes. And his purpose is that he is going to bring the Messiah through the nation of Israel and finally into the church. So God chose Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Jesus. And other people say, well, that doesn't seem fair. God is always fair. God did what he wanted to do and could see what he wanted to see. He wanted it that way. If we can get that in our minds, that God doesn't do it our way, he does it his way. If he does it his way, then our way is not the right way. His way is the right way. So salvation only comes from genuine, obedient faith. I can't stress that enough. That's obedient faith. There are many that teach all you have to do is believe. That's true if you believe in the right way. And the right way is that whatever God says, I believe that what he said is true, and I'm going to do what he tells me to do, and that will certainly bring me salvation. Faith in God's promised seed, which is Christ. Can you imagine all those years that they were looking? And they said, God's going to save man. We know he's going to save man. There's something about the seed. We don't understand fully about the seed, but we know that it's coming. And they trusted that there was going to be one like Moses that even rose up, that was going to be the true prophet, was going to be the true savior, was going to be the one that was be the mediator. Physical blessings for all, spiritual blessings are only in Christ. The spiritual blessings I don't think we appreciate enough. Sometimes study Ephesians 3rd chapter. The physical blessings, our spiritual blessings, are so wonderful. In Galatians 3:26 through 29, and this is the last passage, but I want you to think about what this says. For in Christ Jesus, you are all sons of God through faith. What kind of faith? The kind of faith that Abraham had. You are all the children of God by faith, through faith. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. That's in Christ. He's on us. We're in him. He's in us. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you're Christ, then you are Abraham's offspring. You are Abraham's seed. Heirs, according to the promise. Heirs of what? Heirs of all of the riches that God has. Heirs of that which Christ has entered into for us. Heirs of heaven itself and all of the blessings therein. We are heirs and heirs of God, and we're going to receive all of these things because we are the children of Abraham. And I thank God that he let me get through all of that with my breath. And so I want you to recognize you have this wonderful thing before you. That if you truly have the faith like Abraham had, if you truly believe with all of your heart, if you truly trust in God, There is a place for you and I, and we reach that inheritance that we have through God. Won't you come while together we stand and sing?